Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and today my guest is Jim Ojala. He's a special effects artist in Hollywood, but he's also a producer and filmmaker. His debut production is called Strange Nature, which is described as an eco-thriller horror drama, which has me intrigued. So everyone knows how much I love monster movies. So welcome to the show, Jim.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So what is an eco-thriller?
Well, it's a thriller with an ecological twist because we're based around this real life mystery that began in the mid 90s in Minnesota, where deformed frogs started being found, extra limbs, missing limbs, misplaced eyes, really horrific things. And then it started to spread across the country. It was on Nightline with Dan Rather, all these things. And to this day, the actual cause is not 100% determined. There's a lot of theories, but they don't know for sure what's causing it. And it's in other states now. So we decided to take that and see where we could go with it. And that brings in a thriller aspect and you know, really coming at it from the point of view of, you know, at what point do people care? Because in real life, it's like, well, it kind of got swept under the carpet because it's a bunch of frauds, doesn't affect us. So at what point does it affect us? And that's the point of view that we take with the film.
And that's both horrifying and hilarious to me because of the one anecdote. You know, you put a frog in a pot of boiling water, it jumps out. You put a frog in room temperature water and you turn up the heat, it'll sit there until it cooks itself.
Exactly.
And in a lot of people's minds, that's what our governments are doing when it comes to climate change and a few other things that will make life harder on Earth for all of us.
No, for sure. And that's, you know, that's where we're trying to, you know, at least get people to think about, okay, if we don't know what's causing it now, and if it can affect us as humans, that doesn't necessarily mean that something's not going to happen eventually. I mean, look at how long we as a species have been having human birth defects. And to this day, we still don't even know what causes most human birth defects. Mm-hmm. So who knows how long it's going to take to find out for sure what's causing frog deformities and if it could spread to other species. So,
yeah. And what better way to get people's attention than to create a horror movie about it?
Exactly.
So this syndrome or phenomenon actually started in Minnesota, as far as you know?
Yep, it started in Minnesota in 1995, and that's where I'm from. So it really hit home, and it always stuck in my mind as like, wow, that's so crazy. It's on the front page of our newspapers, and it's so bizarre. And then, you know, years ago when I was looking for an idea for my debut feature, I checked into it. I was like, oh, I wonder what's going on with that. And to my surprise, it still hadn't been solved. And now I saw that it's actually moved. Like, it's not being found as much in Minnesota, but now one of the biggest hotspots in America is Northern California. And in 2013, they found a population in Oregon that was 100% deformed. Every single frog they pulled out of this pond had some kind of malformation, which is shocking. That was the first time in history that's ever happened. So it's not that it's going away, it's just moving. So it's something we need to be aware of.
So it's not just spreading, it's moving.
It's actually moving. For some reason, it's moving. It's still being found in Minnesota, but not in the concentrations it was in the 90s. But now it was even found in Vermont back then, a historically really clean state. So it's very bizarre. And you know, the leading theory right now is that it's pesticide and fertilizer overspray from farms landing in ponds and wetlands. But that not itself is causing it. What happens in the leading theory is that causes algae blooms. More algae brings in more snails. And the snails have a specific parasite called a trematode worm, and that parasite worm will be in the snail, and once the snail goes down to the shore, it gets out of the snail, goes into the water, finds a developing tadpole, and burrows into the where the limbs would grow out, and it purposely screw up the development stages of the tadpole and make it handicapped, basically, by giving it extra limbs or missing limbs. So when it grows into a fully fledged frog, it can't move right, making it easy pickings for a bird to swoop down, pick it up, and then the parasite life cycle starts again in the feces of the bird that gets dropped on the shore, snail picks it up again, and the whole vicious cycle starts over. So that's the leading theory. It hasn't been proven in 100% of the cases, but that's been shown in a lot of the cases. So that's one of the things we dive into a little bit in the film as well.
Wow, that's a very specific invasive species life cycle, isn't it?
Exactly. No, it's the things in my years of research on this, the things that you see find out what parasites do. It'll give you nightmares. It's crazy, you know.
So, what was the inspiration behind making a horror movie rather than a documentary?
Well, basically, I knew I had to get my first feature off the ground, and I'm a big fan of horror films and thrillers since I was a little kid. Monster movies, everything. I saw Gremlins 3 times in the theater. Like it's always been a big deal to me. And then it was like, well, how am I going to stand out from just another guy with a script? It was like, well, the thing I can bring to the table at this point in my career is I'm a professional special makeup and creature effects artist. So I can create a lot of these things at my own cost while I'm trying to get the film financed and developing it. And then that way, like, one of the most frustrating things as an independent filmmaker is that you're running in place and you're beating on doors. You're trying to get financing. Everybody hates you. Nobody wants to talk to you. Nobody wants to read your script. So it feels like there's nothing you can do in the meantime. So at least for that, that kept my head straight by, well, okay, I can be working on a deformed baby or a deformed puppy or figuring out what I can do about these frogs while I'm knocking on doors and trying to get financing. So something was always being done. There was never, ever any wasted time. And that's what was most important to me. So by the time we did get the financing, hell, most of the effects are ready to go. So,
and you could probably take some of the models you made with you as visual aids. It's like, we're going to make a monster movie starring this.
Exactly. No, it was huge to be able to show people that, to get excited about it. And then one of the other big breakthroughs we had was in my early stages of development, I was like, well, as an effects guy, how am I going to make these frogs and something that small to move convincingly? And it's a really, even the best effects artist, that's a really tough thing to do, to make animatronics that small, the whole works. And I was like, well, wait a minute, why even try to do that? If this is a real thing, maybe I could get my hands on the real thing. So I started reaching out to all these scientists and researchers around the country and ended up talking to one of the leading ecologists that are on these cases. And he ended up becoming a big supporter of ours and a consultant. And through him, we were able to get some of the live specimens. So all the frogs you see in the film are the real live mutated frogs. So to have that too, just to show everybody from publicity to actors on set, to be like, look, this isn't some BS I came up with. We are starting with a real actual thing, and this is it. You're holding it right in your hand. So that was another big thing to get people behind the film.
Well, how did the actors and the crew react when they saw these little mutations?
It was a lot of different things. Some were really horrified, didn't want to go anywhere near them. Some were heartbroken, felt really bad for them. I mean, it kind of ran the gamut, you know. But luckily, there's only a couple actors that had to actually hold them or anything, so.
Okay. So how did connecting the monster side of the story with the drama of a mother and her son trying to start a new life?
Well, making a connection there really had to do with, you know, the mother's concern over these frog deformities. And there's something that the mother had done to the town that had been said years ago that kind of made her a social pariah there. Because she's coming back. She's estranged from this town and her father. She's coming back to take care of her father now that he has liver cancer. And the town doesn't want anything to do with her. So she starts finding these frogs on his property, and nobody cares, and they think that she's probably trying to get attention for herself, whatever. So it goes back to, at what point will people care? And that's where we need to bring in the more monstrous elements where, okay, well, is it your family pet that births these monstrosities, or are human birth defects on up to more dangerous animals in the wilderness of the Midwest? And, you know, at what point does it knock on your door and make you care and take a serious look? So that's where the bigger creature aspect came into, is when it had to get ramped up so people paid attention. Like, there has to be a physical threat out there, usually, before somebody takes action.
So where is the film now in terms of post-production, being ready to be screened and all that?
We are in our final stages right now of sound and our color correction. All the effects are done, all that stuff. So we're probably about another 4 to 5 weeks out. And then while we're at that process, we're submitting to film festivals right now and trying to get it, eyes on it that way. And then just shooting for the, you know, some of the bigger festivals, and we'll see where it goes from there. So it's a tricky thing because it's not a straight ahead horror movie. There's like this kind of dark family drama going on, as well as these horrific aspects and these thriller aspects. It's almost like a drama that becomes a thriller that becomes a full on horror movie. So it's, you know, it's finding the right set of eyes that's willing to take a chance on a film that, you know, bends the genres like that too. Because some people do just want a straight ahead gore fest, and that's not what it is. There's a lot more to it than that. So,
well, I, for one, thank you, because straight ahead gore fests get boring. I want a cool monster.
Totally.
Yeah. I want a cool monster. I want, it doesn't have to be a completely original story. It can be the whole, you can follow the tropes, the trail of tropes. I'm not offended by that. But there has to be something interesting in the story, or something interesting about the characters that draws me in. And it sounds like you've got that going handily.
Thank you. That's one of the big things I'm really proud of the film, is that we've got some really great, solid performances. Because that's one of the things that I'm always bummed about sometimes in lower budget horror films, is that, like, oh, it's a really cool concept, or there's a cool creature, but, like, because budget limitations or time limitations, there's a lot of films that just, you know, don't have the best actors, the best performances. And that was really important to me. I didn't want to have to make excuses for anything because of budget or time limitations. So I feel really confident about its future, because we've got the solid performances and people you care about, and, you know, some horrible things that happen to them, and a lot of cool stuff to look out for. And it's about something. I mean, for me personally, like, I love every kind of film. I mean, I started with Trauma, and I love all that stuff. But for me personally, if I'm, as a filmmaker, I know right off the bat, I'm going to be investing years and years of my life into a single project. It has to be about something. So that's where this struck a nerve for me.
Well, I'm glad that the story is so important to you, because you stuck with it for this long. I mean, if if you run the risk of getting bored with the story you're trying to tell and it takes too long, there's lots of examples out there of people who have abandoned film projects or books or anything because they got bored.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, what's going to keep you there? Because it's, yeah, eventually you will just get tired, or you just get turned onto a new project. And then, yeah, I hate wasted time more than anything. Like, I will not, I can't allow myself to put time into it and abandon anything. So pretty much anything I do, I make sure to see it through.
Excellent. Well, if you get a chance to send your film to the International Horror and Science Fiction Film Festival, which is here in Phoenix in the spring, let me know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll do.
Where's the best place for people to keep up with updates on the movie?
Our website, strangenaturemovie.com. is a great place. There's a whole news section, so any updates, new interviews, anything like that goes up there. We also have a Facebook page for a Strange Nature Movie, and then we also have a Twitter, which is Strange Nature One, at Strange Nature One. So all of those are constantly updated, so they're all great places.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Jim, for sharing your love of ecological mysteries and of horror movies with us.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Now, are you working on any other future projects, or is this pretty much it right now?
This is taking a lot of my time. And then also, we have an effects company, Ojala Productions, which is OjalaFX.com. So we got a few little projects there. And then I'm also writing a new kind of sci-fi TV series right now, too. So I'm finishing up the pilot on that. And then I'm jumping into potentially writing a punk rock feature film. So, yeah, a lot of different things in the works.
Excellent. Well, keep us updated on Strange Nature and your sci-fi pilot. I'm sure, I know I'd be interested in hearing more about it when you can talk about it.
Absolutely, will do.
That's Jim Ojala, Strange Nature, the eco-thriller drama horror, coming soon when it's available with film festival showings. We'll be sure to let people know and point them in the direction of the website.
Awesome. Thank you.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Hello, audience. Listen to your podcast player. Now back to me. Now back to your podcast player. Now back to me. Sadly, it isn't me. But if it stopped playing pop music and switched to the Dragon Reel podcast, it could sound like me. Look down, back up, where are you? You're in a movie theater with the podcast your podcast player could sound like. What's on the screen? I downloaded it. It's a swashbuckler with a magic rapier. Look again. The swashbuckler is now an evil sorceress. Anything is possible when you listen to the Dragon Reel podcast and not music. I'm on a unicorn.
Listen to Dragon Reel, the fantasy film podcast at dragonreel.com, or subscribe on iTunes or wherever great podcasts are found.
Hi, I'm Aaron Ashmore from Sci-Fi's Killjoys, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
Yes, monster movies. Still enjoy them. Not sure what it says about our society that we're getting more and more monster movies and zombie movies, but you think there's a message there? Possibly. But not a lot to talk about this week. The new fall season has just gotten underway, so everything is only in their first or second episode. I am eagerly awaiting Luke Cage next week. Some of the pictures have leaked for John Bernthal reprising his role as the Punisher for the Netflix shows. Only there's some speculation. Is this for Daredevil Season 3 or is this for Punisher Season 1? Don't know yet. Either way, it's going to be fun. Lots of fun. So, probably after, sometime after Luke Cage hits, we may gather together the comic books aficionados here on Team Slice of Sci-Fi and talk about the shows on Marvel, the Marvel movies, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., how they all tie together, and how they're all going to go to the next level, the next phase, and the phase after that. So we'll have fun with that. But that will do it for this episode. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The number is 602-635-6976. Call, leave a message, ask a question. And if you think you don't have enough time to leave a message via the voicemail system, go ahead and record a message yourself and email it to me, summer@sliceofsci-fi.com. I do try to answer questions in a timely fashion. So if it takes a little longer to get back to you, don't hold that against me. I got a lot of stuff on the plate. Listen to the show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, and on Krypton Radio. If you're listening to the show through iTunes or Stitcher, leave us a review there. Let other people know that you like the show, and they might too, and they should go check it out. Check us out on Twitter, @SliceOfSciFi, @SliceOfSciFiTV. Check us out on Google+, Slice of Sci-Fi, and also on YouTube. We're Slice of Sci-Fi over there. We also have the websites. Come on by, enter the contests, check out the reviews, leave your own comment on the reviews if you don't agree with them. SliceOfSciFi.com is the place to go for that. We also have more reviews and interviews over at WritersAfterDark.com. Storytellers across all genres, feature films, independent documentaries, authors from not just science fiction and fantasy, but soon to be horror, and also comics. So check those out. We also have PopCultureGeeks.com for all sorts of movie and TV reviews and just general commentary. And of course, Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas. Stay tuned for those ninjas. Seriously. No, really, stay tuned. Thank you, everyone, for your pledges through Patreon. You guys are helping keep things moving around here. If you want to help, you can pledge per month as little as $1 a month. You can pledge one time if you want. The place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. And every now and then, you do get some goodies. the patrons at $5 and higher right now get goodies. Freebies, preview of stuff that other people can't see yet. Doesn't happen often, but it does happen. I am doing what I can to make that happen for all of you. Thanks again to my favorite geek rock band, Sci-Fried, for providing the music for the show. If you want to check out more music from them, go on over to their website, sci-fried.com, and tell them Summer says hi. But that will do it. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.